Okay, so the Bible passage is 1 John 4, 1-6, and I'm going to read that. So 1 John 4, 1-6. And it's part of our series, which is Walking with Assurance, which is the book or the letter of 1 John. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's pray as these words impact our hearts. Father, thank you for rich words, six verses. And Lord, we pray that we can really discern this morning the Spirit and understand what this passage is speaking to us. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus, and we pray, Holy Spirit, to help us to know these things. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the weather is certainly changing. Now it's getting a bit cooler, and apparently it's getting that sort of season for colds and flus. I know there's a few sniffles around. Apparently, Australians spend about $250 million a year on cold and flu medicines, so it's probably a good industry to be into if you're medically minded. But when you sort of look down the supermarket or the chemist at your average cold and flu section, you are bombarded with a vast array of medicines, all promising to make you feel better. They make lots of promises about what they can do, these little tablets. Some say fast relief, new formula. Some say 12-hour quick action, original formula. So you've got new formula, original formula, then you've got liquid action, and the list goes on. And if that's not enough for you, just to think about all those medicines, you look for alternative medicines to cure your cold. Maybe the lemon and honey, the herbs, whatever it is. With so many options, which do you pick? Which do you go to? Maybe with the cold and flu, go to the new release Wonder Medicine. Go with that. Or maybe stick with the trusted brand, you know, that you've always used. Or better still, maybe go with what a friend tells you. This is what really works. Often you do that. I find that with medicine. Someone says, that really works well. And so I go, okay, I'll try that because there's nothing else that's working. Often we have doubts also about what we've always used to cure a cold. You know, is it really the best thing? Is it a bit outdated? Do I need something newer and better? And so we ask other people's opinions and friends, maybe go with the best ad or YouTube clip or whatever it is. So it can be like this also when it comes to Christianity and spirituality. There seems to be many choices to make. Even just within Christianity, in Swan Hill, we have many choices of different churches. Then we can have the vast array of spirituality or ideas that are presented within our culture, all the different sort of religions. It can certainly feel overwhelming as they all are sort of yelling at you, you know, we offer you more. Maybe sometimes making you feel a little bit like Christianity is outdated, or what you know of Christianity is outdated. The offer of come and see, we offer better Jesus, more Jesus, whatever it is, more Holy Spirit, whatever it is. So at the time of John, some were straying away from the teachings of John. And they were saying, come over here, listen to us, because what we've got is a better teaching. What we've got is a better Jesus, a better Christianity. John, like the other apostles, he spoke with God's authority about Jesus. What John declares was already the best and only solution that offers eternal life for all who believe in Jesus. So knowing what John spoke meant, you could walk with complete assurance in Jesus. So as we've been studying 1 John, there's been a theme that we've noticed that keeps on coming up. It's walking with assurance. And so John wants us as his children, or God's children, he calls us beloved children, us who are redeemed by Jesus, to walk in confidence in what we have in Jesus. So when John writes the first opening words of chapter 4, he wants them and us to be discerning. Discerning anything that's spiritual, rather than being completely dumb and believe anything. So John describes two voices at work in our lives. There's God's voice and the world's voice. And the key is, who will you believe and who will you listen to as your authority? It seems for John's listeners, many false teachers were trying to persuade them. And today we have many trying to persuade us. I'm not saying these are in Christian circles, it's just as much as they can be outside. Many voices that speak to us, but which one speaks the truth? It could be the religious people, could be the Christians, could be the cults, it could be whatever we think. It could be the culture, that relative thinking of culture. And then if we sort of start to doubt all those things, then we start to think, well, I'll just go with my own voice. Well, can you actually even trust that? Can you trust your gut feeling when it comes to eternal life? Well, there are three ideas that stood out to me as I read this passage and what I think John is bringing to us. And only six verses. But the three things that stood out as we encounter all these different voices and opinions is, firstly, and I'll put it on here. You can write this down. That's very small, isn't it? I didn't do a very good job of that one. It'll come up bigger anyway. Can you? That's good. Firstly is be discerning. Test rather than just believe. Okay? And secondly, we are to test who they believe Jesus is. And thirdly, we are to test them by listening to the right voice, that spirit. Now, I put a little S there. But in that sense, it'd be a big S. Okay, so our first point in verse 1 is that we're called, be discerning. So our first point in verse 1 is we're called not simply to believe anything, but to test everything. To test everything, that's what it says in the verse. It's to be spiritually discerning rather than be spiritually dumb. That's what I figured I'd just paraphrase it. Or open to anything that seems spiritual. I'm always surprised by how easy Christians just think that everything that's Christian is presented to us is necessarily good for them. It doesn't take long for you to realise that you need to be discerning about these things. If you pick up a Quran catalogue, you need to be discerning about what books to buy and read if you want to grow as a Christian. Or it need to be discerning on what Christian events you get invited to. There's been many events that come under the Christian banner in the past 6 months in Swan Hill. Events that promised revival of the Holy Spirit. Events that promoted Christian prayer. Events that promoted diversity and unity around the Christian faiths during Easter. But behind these events are an underlying idea and teaching about Jesus, the gospel, and our faith in Jesus. So as a body of believers, we have to be discerning about these things. Often saying no to what seems good. Now, I'm not against reading or listening to various ideas of in Christianity. I think that's a good thing if you want to be a critical thinker. That's good. Think about those things, read them, over big topics. And I'm not going against attending various events for opportunities with the gospel. Paul went to the synagogue. He went to pagan shrines. He did it for the gospel, to share Jesus. But John has wise words to tell us, God's word, in fact, to tell us. He says in verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So behind every teaching there's a spirit at work, and that spirit is of truth or a spirit of error. So just because something may seem spiritual doesn't mean it's from God. Why are we to be so discerning in everything? Well, John tells us very clearly, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, clearly there are many spiritual voices in our culture. There are many spiritual voices that would try and draw us away from Jesus and his word. Now, this may be strong atheism that denies the existence of God. So that is a voice that is very present in our culture. There is also the idea that that secular materialism that culture would try and distract us with, you know, your life is about career, it's about comfort, it's about success, those sort of things would sort of draw us away from God. Now, those things can certainly tempt us, and they can certainly draw us away, but I believe that John's got something in mind a little bit different here. I believe John gives us a clue as to the real problems and false teachers he's referring to. John tells us that they have gone out into the world. They are not to the world coming in to the church, in that sense. These are people who at some stage professed to believe in Jesus, or at least associated or looked like a Christian. But then they started to add various ideas and teachings to the clear message of Jesus. And so they went out from the body of faith. They went away from the clear teaching about Jesus, about his death and his resurrection. And so these gone-out teachers are trying to influence, particularly in John's case, those that are still in the church. And they still do it today. We've had people that we know who have clearly claimed some belief in Jesus who would add all sorts of strange ideas and teachings to that clear message. You know, unless you have a vision or some prophetic word, or unless you follow this prophetess teacher who has insight into the scriptures, giving you new revelation, unless you follow them, then you're really not the real deal. It sounds attractive, it sounds new, it sounds exciting to some people, and it can easily draw us away. But John tells us, be skeptical. It could be the latest book or the movie presented as a real Christian experience. Often they make you feel like a less of a Christian if you don't follow along with it. John is concerned that believers will be led astray, including us. So testing, discerning these spirits, these ideas, these doctrines is of vital importance. And it's both an individual thing as we hear and test. And like John, it's also a shepherding thing of the church as he is shepherding over that church. And so we are to test every spirit to see whether it's from God. Well, some, when they think about this, may simply go to their gut feelings. They may go to their heart. But I'm sure that false teachers are also going with their gut feeling and hearts in what they teach. If that's all we rely on, if it's just what we feel and someone else feels, we're going to have an I feel versus you feel. If it's I believe versus you believe, where's the authority? No, John doesn't want to leave us just with gut feelings. Or to try and look in someone's eyes and go, jeepers reapers, I think you're possessed. He doesn't want to leave us those sort of things. Or leaving us feel like, oh, I'm really feeling some darkness now as I'm speaking to this person or reading that book. He doesn't want to leave us in those sort of subjective things. We know those things are sometimes, we feel those things. But John wants us to have real testers to know for sure, so we can walk with complete assurance that we really do have the authentic Jesus. So let's look at our first tester, which is our second slide, or our second point. So John's first tester is, what do they believe about Jesus? It's about confessing who Jesus is. Now remember, these are mostly false people with a false Jesus that they're teaching. They're going out of the fellowship with Jesus, because what John said right at the beginning is, if you're in fellowship with him, you're in fellowship with Jesus. If you're in fellowship with John, if you know the Jesus that he's talking about, then you're in fellowship with God. So these people leave that fellowship, leave the apostles' teachings, and go on and talk about a different Jesus. So getting Jesus right is important. So John writes verses 2 and 3 as tester number 1. Let's have a look. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. So by this we can know and have assurance that the teaching is from God or from the devil, or from at least the world, what he says there. The teaching confesses who Jesus is. What we believe about Jesus really matters. Now, at the time of John, false teachers claimed that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. This was the Gnostics. They had a real spiritual issue with the body. They thought the body, our flesh, is evil. And so for Jesus to come in a body would be completely unspiritual and evil. And so they came up with the idea Jesus came as a spirit or a ghost or something to that degree. They denied the physical humanity of Jesus because their Jesus just didn't fit into what they thought. Those who speak from God and by the Holy Spirit will confess that Jesus came in the flesh. This is to say that Jesus was God, he is the one sent from God and is God, and became human. That is, that God is 100%, so Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. That the incarnation of God into history, into time, is true. This incarnation of Jesus has come in his coming. Jesus has come. And in his coming, he is the one who also died for our sins. He came for a purpose, to die. And John's been saying this right through up to this point. And Jesus would be raised, therefore, to conquer death. They confess and acknowledge these things as true. In fact, in John 4, in John 1, 1 John 4:10, that follows this passage, John tells us that Jesus is a propitiation, I get that right, I wrote it right, propitiation for our sins. His death was an atoning sacrifice that satisfied that punishment that we deserved. So it's a belief in the doctrine that comes with Jesus coming in the flesh. And actually goes on to say in that verse that if any spirit or religious teaching doesn't confess Jesus, it's not from God. If Jesus is somehow absent in what people are teaching, then there's something to be sceptical about that. Or if we put Jesus aside as something insignificant and focus on other things, maybe like the Holy Spirit, it's all about the Holy Spirit, not about Jesus. Like we've got this license with the Holy Spirit. Whatever goes, goes. We need to be sceptical. We need to be sceptical. If they hardly mention Jesus, who Jesus is and why he's important, we need to be sceptical. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:14 that the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus, not itself. And if you're not convinced by what John's words saying, then listen to what Jesus said, which John is speaking Jesus' words, but listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, which Rebecca Blair read. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom." Might not go well these days if you put that on Instagram or Facebook. We've seen some issues with putting some biblical text on Instagram lately. Not very inclusive of Jesus, is it? And certainly drawing a line in the sand. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Those are two great miracles. Prophesy and cast out demons. So John calls us to be discerning, not dumb, when it comes to spirits and teaching and whatever's behind it, especially when it comes to claims about God. To be faithful to Jesus, not foolish in whatever's popular, when it comes to doctrine or teachings or speakers or books. Those that are presenting to be from God. Now, we live in a very pluralistic age where it's often says it doesn't matter what you believe, you know, as long as you're sincere. Even some Christians may think this. Or even some Christian circles may teach this. But John's very black and white. John's very black and white. You're either from God or you're not. Jesus is very clear as well. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. So whatever's teaching comes your way, it may sound nice, it may even sound spiritual or even good. But if it fails to confess Jesus, then it's not from God. It's not from God. So the key is getting Jesus right, confessing and believing in Jesus that he came in the flesh. The one that John and the other apostles write about. Oops. Okay. Which leads us to our second tester, which is our third point. I'll do that now. And it's getting Jesus right and listening to the right Spirit's voice. Ah, sorry. Okay. So we're going to look at verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now John does tell us that as children of God who confess Jesus correctly, that we can have confidence that we belong to God. That we can have confidence that God is in us. That is, the Holy Spirit is in us. God's Spirit is in us. And it's at our coming to Christ. And the Holy Spirit that is in us is greater than any false teaching that the world would throw at us, or false teachers would throw at us. And that through Jesus we have overcome the spirit of this world, which is the spirit of error. So the work that God is doing in us is greater than any power on earth. So that's certainly, I don't know, some great encouragement for us and confidence as children of God. Because often when false teaching comes our way, we can feel a pressure. We can feel the pressure, you know, do we just accept things? Do we just conform? But John, like I said, it allows us to be very sceptical. We can be sceptical. It's a fine thing to be sceptical. But we should never be not confident that God's Spirit is not in us. Okay? Because his Spirit is in us. Now, you might think, as you hear this, that it's... But what John is trying to say and what I'm going to teach on is about listening to the Holy Spirit and discerning what the Holy Spirit says as to whether it's speaking or just yourself speaking. You know, that sort of discerning what you see a lot in churches. That's a slight topic for another day. John wants our discerning and testing to have confidence, not subjectiveness. Okay? He wants us to have confidence that we have the authentic truth. That we can walk with assurance as a believer. So John doesn't want us to just walk with simply our subjective feelings. They're there, they're part of our life, but we can get them wrong. The key is verse 4. This is what John says. John tells us that our listening to get Jesus right is by listening to John. In fact, it's not just listening to John, but it's actually listening to us, which is the apostles, those who write the Word of God. So that means our second tester in discerning is going to God's word. It's listening to John, to Peter, to Paul, to Matthew, as to what they declare the truth of Jesus. When you listen to God's word, you are listening to the Spirit of truth. If you are listening to God's word, you have the assurance you belong to God, that you are from God, and therefore you have eternal life. It's very black and white. John is very a black and white sort of guy. There is no grey areas. Anyone teaching you under the name of Christianity who doesn't listen to God's word is clearly not from God and does not have the Spirit of God. They can't, because they do not confess the truth of Jesus. Because the same Holy Spirit that worked through John and the apostles to declare that truth of Jesus, that same Holy Spirit is at work in us revealing that same Jesus. As John told us in chapter 1, through all this, through all what John testifies to, we can have real fellowship with God. Where does John tell us these false prophets are from? They are from the world. They are not from God. And remember what he told us also previously about the world. It's perishing. It's fading away. It's coming to an end. But what we have is eternal and is from God and through Jesus. It's eternal. John wants us to read these things to be encouraged so we can walk with assurance. John writes this letter to help believers know for sure they have eternal life, that they can know for sure that Jesus is the one who came in the flesh, who died, and who rose again to give them eternal life. So that we, like them, don't get led astray, but we discern and test what we hear. The two testers are that what we confess or who Jesus is. And are we listening, or are they listening to God's word? Is it in line with God's word? That's how we ought to choose a church family, a people to belong to. Is Jesus and his word faithfully taught? So what can we take home today from these six verses in 1 John 4? And like I said, think about how much is just packed into that six verses. Well, John's putting it into the back, in putting it back into your court to be discerning rather than dumb. So the question is, are you really discerning when it comes to Christianity or spiritual things or religion or whatever you want to call it? But are you discerning when it comes to Christianity? There's a big question that helps you discern this, and that is, what do you really believe about Jesus? What do you confess about Jesus? Who do you confess Jesus to be? Do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that he died for your sins on the cross? Do you confess to Jesus that you are a sinner? And do you trust in him, trust in his atoning work on the cross that took your punishment? Because it's got to start with you. It's got to start with you. Do you believe that Jesus rose again to conquer death? If you do, John says you have overcome the spirit of this world and you have eternal life, secured, guaranteed. If you do, you confess that John says you are a child of God. The key is, don't allow what you already have to be taken away. Don't allow what you already have that is secure to be made insecure and uncertain by false teaching and error. If you believe those confessions, those beliefs, then who do you spend most of your time listening to? Who do you spend most of your time listening to? And there's some really good Christian books, and I do encourage people to read Christian books, but you've got to read God's Word. You've got to read God's Word. Is it God's Word that you're listening to? Who God gave us through John and the Apostles? Who were key witnesses who spoke of authority? Or is it another voice, a voice of this world? Or a voice of false teaching? These are warnings that we have two voices that are being spoken in our world, our culture. Like the cold and flu medicines, we have many things being advertised and calling themselves spiritually good, maybe claiming to be Christian. Maybe it's that fast relief Christianity that has the false promise of healthy, better life. Or the new improved Christianity that promises you more excitement or extra revelation or some miracle. Or maybe it's the alternative hippie Jesus that you get to be all cool and Jesus is like your bro, you know? There are many dangerous spirits that would draw us away from the clear message of Jesus. Whatever it may be, John wants us to really know that we already have the authentic Jesus as we listen to him and the other apostles. So as we are in God's Word, we are knowing this truth. And by knowing the truth, we can better discern these spirits. We can discern which spirit is at work, whether it's God or the world's. One speaks truth about eternal life, the other speaks error and uncertainty. We need to live as the wise man of Matthew 7, who builds his house on what? On God's word, on Christ's word, which is the solid foundation. We need to listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said, I came to give you eternal life. We need to trust in Jesus, the one who healed your heart and soul of the biggest problem of sin and your relationship with God. We need to go to the trusted medicine and food, which is found in God, the Word. And if you have Jesus, you already have the only right medicine you need, the only right spiritual medicine you need, which is himself and his Word. So go to those things. Go to those things, the source of life. And in that, Jesus is at work. And is that in that, he's at work in your life right now. You see, John is saying that you have everything you need right now. That's one of the things that often happens with false teaching. It takes you away, it says you don't have it all. But if you've already confessed Jesus and who he is, you already have everything you need. There's a lot of teaching about Jesus and the Holy Spirit that comes into Christianity, and often is simply accepted without being tested or discerned. So even if something seems sincere or Christian, if it fails to confess Jesus, if it fails to listen to God's word and take it seriously, then we have every right to be skeptical. And if it's not from God, John tells us, black and white, it's from the world. So the question is, are you listening to the right spirit now? God's Spirit through his word. And do you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in you right now through Christ, so you can walk with assurance as a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words of encouragement, words that would teach us to be discerning and not dumb. Lord, help us to be a right skepticism to things. Lord, help us to be people, creatures of your word, so that we can actually hear you speak through it. Lord, we thank you these words spoke to our hearts this morning. Maybe for some of us a wake-up call. Maybe some of us this is new, maybe some for old. But Lord, thank you for them. For they stand the test of time and they speak to our hearts today. So Lord, thank you for your Spirit's work in us that we can hear these things and have ears to hear. Like the parable of the sower and the seed, Lord, let it grow in us to yield in abundance. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Feel free to have a cup of coffee and encourage each other around what you've heard this morning.